Blog Talk Radio.
Glory to God. Thank you.
Pain I was drowning, but God saw something in me, restore my life and set me free. Now I can see the sunshine, I can't believe it's in me. I'm above all my troubles, I'm above all my pain, I'm above all my past, and my life will never be the same again. Never knew I could achieve. Sometimes I wonder how I made it through the night. I'm just thanking God I'm alive. I'm not crazy because I talk to the holy. I know their pain, cause that was my death. So I'm like an eagle soaring high. I walk my sleep at night and all the tears I cry.
Praise the Lord. Well, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so as we get into the Word. So again, I would ask you to go ahead and get a notebook, pen, paper, so that you can take notes. And at the end of the ministry tonight, you can ask any questions or have any comments that will edify the body of Christ. So if you would, just go ahead and join your hearts with me in a word of prayer. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, revealed to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and our minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, we're going to start an augmentation of the of a new series, The Power of Words. God has set in place a system of victory that cannot be stopped by any outside force. Once his word has been released, it must accomplish just what he sent it to do. And it is always active and alive in every situation and every circumstance, from now unto eternity. Please know that the effectiveness of the word still needs our agreement in the earth for it to come to pass. When we don't understand or we don't choose to believe it, the word will remain in effect and on standby until we exercise faith in it. You know, I talk to people all the time, and they're trying to hear how to do this or that, how to make the flow of the Word of God work. Well, it's a very simple process for that to happen, is that we simply must believe that what God has said is actually going to happen. And if we believe that it's going to happen, then exactly what he promised will come to pass in our life. It's not a question, beloved. It's simply a reality that we have to step into and then walk into it. It doesn't become non-effective, you know, when we see something that we like or see something that we don't like, or we see an obstacle. That doesn't stop the word from being the word, but it will stop the word from functioning in our life. Let's look at it this way. There have been clouds that were in the sky, but those clouds never stopped the sun from shining. It's just that the clouds came in between the sunlight and you. It's really that simple. It's a thing where we have to know that since a promise has been received in our heart, then once that promise has been released in faith through confession, that thing is already in process. You remember what happened, and we see it very clearly in the book of Daniel, when Daniel was praying, and the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, was dispatched. And then 3 weeks later, there was a manifestation. And so Gabriel kind of like was asking the angel, you know, what took so long? And Gabriel said, as soon as your prayer reached heaven, I was dispatched. But the prince of Persia came against me to try to, I mean, it's just so good, to try to stop me. But there was no stopping me. Once heaven received the prayer, a word was then released. This is the way that it works, beloved, and we must know this, that once all of the promises of God are yes, and all of the promises of God are amen unto us, that we would give glory to God. Okay? They are yes and amen by us. so that glory can be released for us and through us. I mean, I need for you to get that. There are scriptures that I quote because they are my mainstay. You know, that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it, shall he not make it good? Has he not spoken it, shall he not bring it to pass? So then the challenge is never on God's side. And it's not on the enemy's side. The devil cannot stop the word of God. Isaiah says it this way: my word that goes forth out of my mouth, it says that it will accomplish. It will not return unto me void. It will prosper. I mean, do you hear the guarantees that are in place from the word? It says it will not return void. It will not leave the earth realm, going to heaven, and not make it to heaven. And once it leaves heaven, it will not leave heaven and not make it to earth. We are the only ones that break the flow from the power of God. See, and we need to understand that, because the word has power. Okay? Both God's word and your word. Now, I want you to know that. You are the quickest way for the devil to stop what God intended for you. It's on you. Let's look at that right quick here. Turn to Luke chapter 5, verse 17. I want you to just see some things and begin to, you know, make note in your heart about these things. Okay? Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 15, just so that we can lead you in there. Okay? Verse 15 in chapter 5 says, "But so much more went their fame abroad of him." This is after Jesus healed the man from leprosy. And then he told the man to go do things decently and in order. He told the man, don't go telling everybody. Don't go speaking this. Go first and show yourself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing. Come on, this is verse 14. Lord Jesus, come on, y'all. Come on. All right. Wait a minute. I want you to see the process here. Starting at verse 12, watch this. "And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy." It says the man was what? Full of leprosy. I want you to know that God knows how to deliver by many or by few. He knows no limits or no restraint. It says that this man, who was full of leprosy, he didn't have a small problem, beloved. He was full of leprosy. There was not a place on him. There was not a condition in his life that was not touched by, affected by leprosy. He was full of leprosy. "Who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And he," Jesus, "put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean." Wait a minute, see? We need to see these things so that we can understand. The man asked Jesus, begging Jesus, besought Jesus, saying that you are able. Listen at what he said. He said, he fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. He said, Lord, you are able. I want you to know it's not about God's ability. It's about your believability. Jesus gave the man an answer. Come on, look at this. Look at the way it's written. That's why I want you to see these things. And Jesus put forth his hand. the request came. Please notice how it is stated in the Bible. He asked the man, and the next thing we see is action from the Lord. We see motion on his behalf. We see the motion before we even see or understand the response verbally. Please look at it. He said, "You're able to make me whole." Next sentence, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. And as he touched him, there was then declarations made, and the declaration that was made was, first, I will. That's why I tell you all the promises of God are yes and amen. All of the promises of God are I will. See, we need to see this, understand this. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. But it is according to the power that's working on the inside of us. Not the power that might be resident, according to that scripture. It's according to the power that's working. This man was making a statement of faith. He said, "Lord, if you will, you can." He did not say, "Lord, if you will, you are able." See, it's the position of heart that is made manifest both times. It is made manifest by the actions that we take and the words that we speak. This man came, saw Jesus, and fell down in worship. And come on, y'all, just look at the progressions here. Fell down in worship, and then out of his worship came a request. My God, my God. I'm hoping that you can see these steps. Okay. See, because the way it is delineated here, it says that the man saw Jesus. Then he began to worship, fell on his face, and out of that worship came a request. It's a lot of times that we'll go to Jesus and we'll make demands, but we haven't done the first part, is we haven't entered into worship. Demands, okay, come on, y'all. We need to get this. It's in the Bible, written that way specifically so that we can see it and then utilize the steps that are, if you would, unseen the first time you read it. Okay, a lot of times that we'll see something in the scripture and there was no active revelation that we can participate in. We just went and became a parrot. I saw it, I said it, I need it. What about I saw it, I worshiped because I saw it. I worshiped because my eyes were open. The man seeing Jesus. Come on, y'all. Just look at it. It didn't say the man had an account of Jesus, heard about it. It said the man had his eyes seeing Jesus, fell on his face. I'm just going to now take a little liberty here and state that I didn't see the man as he saw Jesus begin to do anything but worship. He didn't need to come closer to Jesus. Seeing him could have been done from afar off, couldn't it? But he immediately said, the place where I am right now is the place where worship should be released. So when you find yourself in a bad situation, if you can find a promise, if you can find Jesus, that's the time to worship. You don't wait till the end of the thing to begin to worship. This man was, come on now, this man was full of leprosy and still worshiped. There's some hints for us right there. This was a man that was yet without his need being met, and he was full of worship. He was submitting his heart to worship. He had an exchange of the full heart of worship to being full of leprosy. See, he didn't bring his problem and have his problem bigger than his worship. He made his worship bigger than his problem. All that's right there in the scripture, y'all. Seeing Jesus fell to his face in worship. I mean, you can look at it this way. Seeing Jesus, he decided that which he just saw was enough for his life. He didn't need to see something else. He didn't need to fleece Jesus. He said something that we should say, Lord, if you wanna, you have the ability. You can do this. I'm at your mercy. And I don't even need to see, come on, y'all, I don't even need to see a response because I understand the power of worship. The power of worship causes you to do things because you were interested in me before I knew about you. The reason you came, the Bible said, he sent his word to heal and to deliver. So heaven's response was already in your favor. Glory to God. And this man, seeing that God's response was already actively here, worshiped, fell on his face. I don't need to concentrate on anything else. My answer is here. See, a lot of times we'll go and try to solicit God and then keep our eye on the problem as if that's going to bring the solution. This man got the answer because of the heart's position of worship. Seeing Jesus fell to his face. I mean, I just need for you to get these little hints. I'm trying to give you the steps that are already ordered that you should walk in. This is not going to be a mandate. These are steps that you should walk in. Okay? He's trying to get us to have a paradigm shift in our belief system. That if you believe, you should start the worship now. And the worship should be bigger than your challenge. If you haven't taken your eyes off of the challenge while you're praying, while you're worshiping, then you haven't engaged the faith that's necessary to bring victory to pass. You have engaged in the desire to want to have it, but you haven't engaged in the steps that will bring it to pass. Notice what happened. He said, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and said, Lord, if you wanna, you can make me whole. And Jesus' response was, first of all, moving towards the requirement, the request. I mean, come on, that's the same way we just heard that Daniel, the response from heaven was already instituted before he saw anything that looked like God was moving. He saw, actually he didn't see it, this man's face was on the ground. I mean, faith doesn't have to be seen. It's going to have to be experienced in the heart where there is a connection between the one you're praying to and your deliverance. Not the one you're looking at to see if maybe he's just going to hold something back from you. That's not the way God thinks. He will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly. This man saw Jesus and fell on his face and worshiped. And then Jesus responded to his worship first. Jesus, the Bible said, put forth his hand and touched him. Then he said, the touch came before the confirmation of the word. Now I'm talking about the power of words. See, we're looking for answers, but we haven't seen, we haven't displayed a heart that would cause him to move. We just displayed a right to get it from him. If you want to display the right to receive, then put your heart in the right position. That's the position of worship. I don't need to see you move. I know you're able. The man's face was on the ground. He didn't see Jesus reach out. He didn't know that a touch was on the way until the touch was already experienced. And the experience was being backed up by words. And it was simple words. Notice this. It was words of affirmation based on the authority that the man gave Jesus and said, if you would, Lord, you can. And Jesus said, you're right, I can. Motion took place. Jesus put forth his hand. I mean, it could have just as easily read, and Jesus said, I will, and put forth his hand. But they specifically wrote it in the order that it's necessary for us to take a gander at, to go inside and behold this. The request that came out of worship, I mean, if I were you, I would write it that way. It was the request that came out of worship that got the motion, that caused the thing to work. Worship, unhindered worship. It wasn't worship that everybody, come on, I'm just digging in right here, y'all. It wasn't worship that was necessary for everybody else to see. It was worship that caused him only to see the one that could answer. Don't you know, sometimes we ask God to do a thing, but then we look at other people that might not have received what they've been waiting for yet. See, this man didn't have time to look at anybody else. He saw Jesus, fell on his face, and worshiped. Full attention was on the worship, not on the request. I mean, I just hope you can kind of see that, because I'm trying to get you to bridge whatever is necessary between your request and the manifestation. We see this man before the request, we see worship. Fell on his face and then said. And so the response from heaven came exactly as he delineated. It was action and then words. The man displayed action and then words. He fell on his face in worship and then asked for the miracle. And Jesus moved with actions and then confirmed the miracle. Okay, I'm taking my time here because we really need to see this. Verse 13 says, after worship and a request, Jesus then had action and a word. Had two words, actually. He put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. That was the first word. Then the second word was, now be thou clean. I mean, do you get this? Do you see? Those punctuations were put there after the fact. I get that. But God is the original Jew, if you will, and he uses everything. So when it was penned so that we can see that there was a distinct order of God. See, these things are not done by accident. They are not done by the will of man. They are done when all righteousness is fulfilled. See? I'm not fleecing God, asking for things that God can do to see if he will do them. This man say, I've already got it right now. I've seen Jesus. I've seen my answer. So I can worship now. Don't wait till the victory is won to praise. Wouldn't that be worshiping in faith? Wouldn't that be worshiping in spirit and in truth? Because God is seeking for those that will worship that way. That will worship because I know that the one that is able is here. I know that I found the answer. I'm not still looking for the answer. If I see Jesus, I'm not looking for the answer anymore. I can do as the elders, those that are before the throne, they look up and they see God and they say, holy, 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 and they fall back down to the ground. They don't do anything else all day. They don't eat. They don't get water. All they do is look up, see God, cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and then they go back down on the ground. That glimpse is enough for them to be sustained by. That's the worship that God is looking for, that you connect with him, and then when you worship, the request is already granted because the worship is active. Glory to God. I believe that we've been taught and trained kind of backwards, and so we'll go to church and think that now that we're at church, we can begin to worship. Oh, no, 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 no. God was looking for worship when you took your first step. When you got and put your foot on the floor, God was looking for worship right then and there, because he's the one that says that he knew what you have need of before you asked. He wasn't waiting for you to get to church so that he can find out what you need. He was waiting on you to see if your worship would be genuine so that he can give you exceedingly abundantly above all you can dare ask or think. See, I believe that we have placed God in the wrong position in our hearts, in our understanding. See? Jesus had action, put forth his hand, touched him, another action, and then confirmed why the actions were taken, said, I will, be thou clean, and immediately the leprosy departed from him. And then he charged him and said, tell no man, but go first and show yourself to the priest, and offer, listen at these words, and offer for thy cleansing. So then, the word spoken, the touch given, caused a cleansing. And Jesus said, don't go around broadcasting. Go offer for thy cleansing. You remember the 10 lepers? And they said, Lord, have mercy. And he said, I'll have mercy. And he said, go tell show yourself to the priest. And on the way to doing what they were told to do, one man saw that he was cleansed, and he went back to praise God. And Jesus' response to him was, where are the 9? Were there not 10 cleansed? He didn't say, were there not 10 that were on their way to being cleansed? He said, were there not 10 that were cleansed? See, when you connect with him on the right level, the answer is a yes and an amen. Not a yes, it's on the way. See, but we sometimes leave the presence of God with the question, did I get it? Well, if you have that question, I will submit to you by the revelation of this scripture that your worship was not the thing that connected you. It was your need that connected you. You remember Jesus was talking about people, and he said, they don't worship me because of who I am. They worship me because of the loaves of bread. Evidently, he wasn't too happy about that, was he? See? Because there is a place that we can worship Jesus because of what he did instead of worshiping Jesus because of who he is. Amen. See? The who he is takes care of what I need. Not the what he has takes care of what I need. I hope you wrote that down. It's the who he is that takes care of what I need. Not the what he has. I'm not seeking God for his hand. Amen. I'm seeking God for his face. You know why I'm seeking God for his face? Because I found out of his face comes words. Glory to God. Amen. A gift could be good, but a gift might only be usable in one situation or circumstance. A word is applicable forever because every word lives and abides forever. The gift might come to an end of its cycle, but the word lives and abides forever. So I seek God for his face because words come out of his face. I might even use a gift up. We've gotten gifts as a child on Christmas, and by the end of the day, the battery that was in the gift, it runs out. I get some clothes on my birthday, and within a year, those clothes might not fit anymore. Its usefulness can wear out, but a word liveth and abideth forever. Isn't that what he told us? That we're supposed to live by the word that comes out of his mouth, not live by the gift that's because of his hand. Come on, I'm trying to ask you to grow up in him. Okay? He's looking for those that are past trying to prove him. That are past trying to prove that they love him. Because if you love, you would keep his commandments. And the first commandment is that we should worship the Lord our God with all our heart. Come on now, y'all. See? We can't fool him. He's looking for worshipers. Not those that are moved to worship. Come on. Do you see a difference? Worshipers, not those that are moved into worship. They live there. Those that breathe continue to breathe because everything that hath breath praises. When I understand the reason for the breath, it's easy for me to go to worship because I have breath to worship. I have breath to praise. This is my life. And unfortunately, that might not have been the way you approach God, because that wasn't the training that you got. You were trained basically to use God as a genie in a bottle. That if you do this rub-a-dub-dub, you'll get results. But I would rather be the one that lives by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. So I'm not seeking his hands, I'm seeking his face. Because his words come out of his face. Amen. See, it changes everything. Again, this was not, I'm trying to get to verse 17. This was just on the way to verse 17. He said, go show yourself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing, according to Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much more went their fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to do what? To hear and be healed. Come on, y'all. To hear and be healed. This is the power of words. Notice these people did not come, according to what is written, they did not come to see and be healed. They did not come to feel and be healed. They came to hear and to be healed. See, I just asked you, you know, that was one of the first questions that Jesus asked. He said, what did you go out to see? When John the Baptist, what did you go out to see? Notice he didn't ask them, what did you come out here for to hear? He asked them, what you go to see? What sense one of the five senses, what sense are you using to contact God with? Are you using your eyes, sight? Well, then if you are, then you're not going to be those that walk by faith, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith comes by hearing, not seeing. See, these are just some little areas where we've let foxes come in, and those foxes, the little ones, Jesus said, will spoil the vine. They will spoil the supply link. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. See, God has already stated that he wants you to have everything. He wants to freely give you everything. But you have allowed little things that you're looking at, little places that you have changed the word of God for your convenience and said maybe even in your heart it doesn't take all that. Beloved, I would say it takes that and more. Till you understand how the flow of God wants to work in your life. And let me just help you out. The flow of God, as it works in your life, the requirement for that flow is different every day of your life. Yesterday's flow is not the same requirement for today's flow. Because today's flow, we're supposed to go from glory to glory. So we're not supposed to live on yesterday's level of glory. Amen. Here a little, there a little. Line upon line. See? So then that means if I didn't add to, well, that's 2 Peter, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and to knowledge service. See, it's supposed to be an increasing of the thing. And a lot of times I would submit to us that we try to function on old things without bringing the new into play. We don't bring this and that. We only brought what we brought last time, and we need more today than we needed yesterday. Just reality. You need more today than you needed yesterday, but you didn't bring that which was meat for an offering. You brought that which you brought last time. I was in a Baptist church for a long part of my life, and in the Baptist church, I had the understanding that we're supposed to bring dues to church. You had to pay church dues. I remember living this life. I didn't bring an offering. I didn't bring a tithe. I brought church dues, and my dues were the same throughout the year, weren't they? Your dues did not get a chance to increase maybe to the end of the year. So you were trained in bringing God the same thing every time. When he is one that is giving increase and thereby looking for the increase to come from you reciprocally. Let every man, these are the scriptures, y'all. Let every man bring as he purposeth in his heart. For God loves a cheerful giver. It did not say, let the man bring dues. Don't find that in the scripture. But because people think God is a hard taskmaster, we had to try to trick them into giving. So we said, just bring the dues. And when you entered into a covenant from that perspective, then you're only going to get what dues will allow. You don't get the, and God is able to make all grace abound to you. Because you didn't bring it, you did not bring an increase from your heart. You brought a mandate from leadership. I'm just telling you, this is how we were trained in the era. I'm not blaming them. I'm just stating a fact that this was a particular part of how we understood God, how we connected with God. When this man, when he saw Jesus, he simply fell down to his face and worshiped. And out of the worship came a request. God was not the genie in the bottle here. Verse 15, but so much more there went fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed. Now, you might want to circle that, underline that or something. By him of their infirmities. And come on, y'all, come on. Look at it. He said it again just there. The reason that the infirmities were healed is because they came to hear. Did you see that? It says it very clearly. They came together to hear, and because of the hearing, faith came. And because faith was now present, the healing of their infirmities could be done by him. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day that as he was teaching, what was he doing? He was releasing words out of his mouth. We're talking about the power of words. He was releasing words out of his mouth. And he was teaching that were there, Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Judea and Jerusalem, and this is the one I want you to get to. And while he was teaching, the power of the Lord was present to heal. While he was teaching, while words were being exchanged, the power of the Lord was present to heal. This is why words, I can appreciate you having a praise service where you're singing and listening to that good music. But here it said specifically he was teaching. And because words were being exchanged to our spirit, the power of the Lord was present to heal. And every time he was teaching, this exchange was available. And still there were people that didn't get healed because it said at one chase he could not there do many mighty works because of their unbelief. But was the power of the Lord still there, present to heal? Yes, it was. So then I would ask and submit in your life, when you hear the words that are coming out of his mouth, is the power of the Lord there, present to heal? Amen. That you can then begin to do what we just saw, released healing. You can fall on your face, focus on the Lord, and worship. Isolate yourself from any other contact or confusion and worship. And then you will experience what happens when you worship like that. The hand of the Lord will be reached out to you, and you will receive a touch and confirmation why the touch was there. I will be thou made whole. Be thou cleansed. Be thou. I would submit to you that it's much easier to get the answer when you start with the right process. I'm looking unto Jesus, so I'm going to see Jesus. When I see Jesus, there should be an automatic heart exchange of worship. Didn't say this man, after he saw Jesus, then began to look for the band. It said this man saw Jesus, and worship in a connected heart was the next step. And out of that worship was birth, words of request. So I would just submit to you that we've probably been doing this thing a little bit wrong. We go and we'll have praise service for 3 hours, and then we'll think that now God's ready to move. No, he was ready to move before you got up and went to the church. Okay? But we didn't connect with him on an intimate level. That's what it says. In Jesus said, these are his words, if you continue in my word, then are you disciplined by me. You are my disciples indeed. And you shall be intimate with the truth, know the truth. And the truth that you are intimate with will cause your deliverance, will make you free. Didn't say will set you free. It said make you free. When you connect with God on that level, there's a guarantee. Amen. Because if I connect with him in the intimate place or the place that is secret, intimacy was always supposed to be in the secret place. That's why he asks you to go and pray in secret. Pray with it. Don't bring Jesus. I just wish that we would hear these things. Don't go to God in intimacy and then bring all of your troubles into that intimacy. Did you get that? I mean, some of us have been married, boyfriend, girlfriend. If you are being intimate, you don't want to have discussions about your old girlfriend right then, your old boyfriend. You don't need to bring up your old boyfriend or girlfriend. Not in the time of intimacy. You need to be completely consumed by the one you are intimate with now. Tell the one you're intimate with now how good he is to you, how wonderful he is, how much you want to worship him. Not worship what he can do. Worship him. He will then respond by reaching his hand out, by reaching the hand of power and deliverance out. He will respond because intimacy, come on, y'all, come on. Intimacy causes response. Every time, all the time. Amen. When you are intimate, then the next thing we'll throw some analogies out there that are natural. Okay, so you decide that you want to be intimate. Next thing you know, somebody's cooking breakfast. Intimacy releases a response. Amen. You expended energy to make me feel like I'm feeling. I'm going to respond. I'll cook. So then if you're not getting the response that you would like to have, might I submit, the intimacy is lacking. I would just submit that. You don't do it to get something. It is a natural response. I mean, on both sides, you wanted to do something for the one that you were intimate with. And then they wanted to continue the intimacy, so they participate in letting you do that, and then they are thinking while they are receiving whatever the intimacy produced, how can I then make it go even longer? Amen. I mean, that's just a natural kind of a response. You can see that. That's real. It was not payment for intimacy. It was the response of intimacy. Did I say that right? I hope I said that so that you can understand it. Intimacy births a response. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The response of intimacy. Okay? I'm trying to just give it to you in an easy way to understand. So the power of the Lord was present to heal. See? So then when I go with that understanding that the word of God was not sent to condemn me, even if the word of God corrects me, why is the word of God correcting me? Because he wants to be intimate with me. Because when I don't receive correction, okay, this is just real, fresh off the press. When I don't receive correction, I generally live in condemnation. Amen. Because I feel like I don't live up to what I am now enjoying. So then if I don't receive the correction, because he does not correct me, he doesn't correct me for his good, but for my good. Isn't that what it says in Hebrews chapter 12? He's not correcting me because he wants to feel good. He's correcting me because he wants me to enjoy good. He wants me to learn how to allow the intimacy to linger. See? So then when I receive the correction, now I'm able to say, oh, God, I thank you for giving me an understanding of that which I didn't know before. Now I do these things on purpose instead of living life by accident. I now know how faith is supposed to operate, because without faith it's impossible to please you. But because of the intimacy of the instruction that you just gave me, now I can walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. I'm looking for the correction of the Lord. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Amen. Not because you were wrong, but because he loved you, that he wants to continue the intimacy. He wants you to grow up with this expectation of you are going to receive from him baths, bathings by the word. You're going to be washed with the water of regeneration by the Holy Ghost. You're going to be made new. And in this newness, you can then worship. And when you worship in that position of newness, you can expect the power of God, his hand, to then move, his touch to then be evidence, and your request that is now birthed out of that intimacy. Don't you remember in my generation, these are just things I remember. There was a song by an artist named Sylvia, and that song was Pillow Talk. Amen. There are conversations that intimacy produces. Glory to God. Secrets can now be exchanged. So then it's easy to walk in victory when you have the secret of the Lord. Amen. He begins to tell you things that would cause you to turn every attack around into a victory, because he'll give you the secret of that thing. The devil will be trying to destroy, but see, he didn't know that the secret was that what the devil meant for evil, God meant it for good. He didn't know that secret. That secret was not revealed to him. But in that place of intimacy, you will see that all things are going to work together for your good. You'll begin to live in that secret, in the secret place. You'll begin to run into the name of the Lord, which is a strong tower, and the righteous are safe in that place. Here the devil is thinking that he's causing you to run away from God, but because intimacy was exchanged, you run to him. You run into that strong tower, and the attack must stop. According to the scripture, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run in and they are safe. If they are safe, the attack must stop. Somebody help me. The attack must stop being experienced by you. Let's try it this way then. Well, as soon as I come out, why'd you come out? He didn't tell you had to come out. It says the righteous run in and they are safe. But what happens when you're in that place of safety, you receive strength A and information B. So now the attack doesn't frustrate you, doesn't bother you. Because now, glory to God, now you have your eye on the prize. You have your eye on the finish, not on the problem. Glory to God. I do not mind writing a check for $100 when I got $300 in the bank. When I was supplied before the request for the check came. I don't mind writing the check because I got the money. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and they are safe. They are equipped so that now when they come out, they can write the check of faith and end up in victory. They don't have to write any more woe am I checks. I don't know how this is going to work. They already know how it's going to work because intimacy brings results. It brings a response. I will leave that place of intimacy knowing that the Lord is on my side. And if the Lord is with me, who can be against me? I leave that place of intimacy knowing that. Because they that know their God, they that are intimate with their God, they will be strong and they will do exploits. Because they have come into the place where the words that God was speaking to them in the time of intimacy equipped them for guaranteed victory. Because those words, as he's speaking, the power of the Lord was present to deliver, present to heal. See, so that's what we have to get to the place where we function in that on purpose. We don't have any more faith accidents. We have the life of faith. That's what Paul says. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But not I. It's not I that liveth, but Christ in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Intimacy gave Paul the ability to make statements like that. This is the man that he wrote that, y'all come on, he wrote that from a jail cell. I mean, surely, if I'm in jail and I don't think God, you know, that got John the Baptist in trouble, having the wrong position of heart. You do recognize that. That got him in trouble. The disciples came to John, and John's first words with them was, is Jesus Jesus or do I seek another? I've been out here, and I've been doing the will of the Lord, and now I'm arrested. Is Jesus Jesus, or do I seek another? He lost his head over that. Paul, in jail, said, no. I don't frustrate the grace of God. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. How many times have we frustrated the grace of God in a situation that we don't understand? Think some kind of way that God no longer loves me because of what I'm facing. Instead of knowing that, no. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. There is no other way for me to do this. And Paul did not spend much time, his spirit did not spend much time in that jail cell. You see that in the book of Colossians when he said, the next time y'all get together, I'll be there in the power of the Lord. Excuse me, Paul, you's locked up. No. I'm free in him, and we get to go everywhere he wants me to go. Tomorrow, I'll be at the place where y'all are gathered together. I'll be there in the power of the Spirit. I am, come on, this is what he said. Turn to Colossians so that you can just see this. Again, I really don't, you know, make this up. It's just that I see it, and we should be able to then do what it says because of it so that we can run and live by the faith of the one that already gave us the victory. Oh, glory to God. Okay, I'm trying to go back and find this. I haven't thought about this one in a long time. But it says that he would be there the next time you come. Join and behold in your order. That's the scripture. I might have to look it up this way. Joying and beholding your order. let me look it up this way. I'll just go and look this up. Because it's just one of those things that we got to get in our hearts so that we can see. Joying, let me just look it up. Let me just look it up. All right. And it's just so good that we can do it. Colossians chapter 2, verse 5. Yeah. That's it. Chapter 2, verse 5. Yeah. I just want you to see that. See, Paul didn't spend time in jail. Okay? Listen at this. He says, for though I be absent in the flesh. So is Paul absent in the flesh? He said that he's not there in the flesh. Yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order. I'm looking at what you do, how you do it, the way you do it. Because this is the same Paul that began to understand things that happened. When Philip was translated from one place to another, testimonies would hit the ear of Paul, wouldn't they? That God took him from one place and Trinity Airlines took him to another place. And so Paul was writing the two-thirds of the New Testament from jail, but he was writing it and asking questions about what was happening in the service. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 said, how is it possible that, okay, yeah, turn over there, just so you can see this, come on. These are confirmations, just so that you can see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. See, let's look at this. It says it is reported commonly. Where am I at? It's reported commonly that there's among you somebody that has his mother's wife. And it says, is that 6 or 7? I'm going to turn him over. He says, I'm going to be there next time to turn such an one over to the destruction of the flesh that his spirit might be saved. See, Paul, he was never there. He was locked up in jail. And he was asking, how did y'all get to this place where you're not even dealing with what should be dealt with? So the next time next time y'all get together, I'm going to be there, and I'm going to turn the man over for the destruction of the flesh. It is recorded commonly that, and you who have not turned this man over, look at this one. This is not part of my study, but I just know that these are the things. That we need to know and begin to process, because otherwise, you know, it's just not going to work for us. Okay, we're going to continue to so it's chapter 5. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Yeah, there it is. Let's look at this. Chapter 5, verse 1. There's reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and not rather mourned, but that he had done this thing might be taken away from you. For verily, again, listen to what he's saying, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that had done this deed. And in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, so Paul was writing these things not being there, but understanding the power of the word of the Lord. So we need to learn how to really enter in. And since Paul did that, it must then be available for us to do that, because he's no respecter of persons. See? So I'm not asking you to want to be translated from here to there. I want you to be confident in the power of God that's able to deliver you, so that the life that you now live in the flesh, you can live by faith in the Son of God who loves you and gave himself for you, and you won't frustrate the grace of God. See, he sends words to us, and we let those words slip. Turn over to Hebrews. Chapter 1. Let's see that. We're going to go chapter 1 and just see some things here. Okay? Because the word is the power that's in the word. That, and we haven't tapped into that power at all. Chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, spoken unto us by his Son. So then we should hear what God is speaking, because in these last days he's doing it by his Son, whom we've appointed heir of all things, by whom we also made the worlds. Who, Jesus, being the express brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Okay, I just want you to see that everything that is still in place is in place because of the power of the word. He's upholding all things by the word of his power. So that would be your deliverance, is being upheld by the word of his power. Your finances is being held by the word of God. We need to get that. Okay, let's look at this. Slow down a minute here. He says he is causing things to be held, and the location wherewith they will be held will not be out. They will not be down. They will be held up. Did he not tell us to look up because our redemption draws nigh? And he's holding things up or in an elevated position. He's not holding them away, because he will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly. But he is holding them in an elevated position. Tell us where God wants us to come to. He wants us to join him in an elevated position. It says that very clearly in Ephesians chapter 1, that he's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principalities, power, and might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. He's wanting us to go to an elevated position. And sometimes we're looking out rather than looking up. See, when the leper who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, he didn't look out any further. He put his face in the ground and began to worship. His heart's position was elevated, and he used the position of looking to the ground to stop him from looking around and trying to gauge the love of God by the things surrounding him. Full of leprosy. Overtaken by his problems. Come on, y'all. See? So then, since that's given us as an example for encouragement and for comfort, then we need to go and be comforted by what we just saw. We need to be encouraged by what we just saw in the word, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. Keep on reading. when he had by himself purged our sin, and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he has an inheritance, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Have you not also obtained by inheritance a more excellent name than the angels? Amen. And he's going to bring it out. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be a father unto him, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth the firstborn, the first begotten into the world. I love the word first begotten right there. You know what the word first begotten means to me? That there's going to be a second begotten. This time he did not say the only begotten, did he? He said the first begotten. So if there was a first begotten, there has to be a 1,000,000th begotten. I'm in that number somewhere. Glory to God. Okay? So then, by inheritance, I've been given a name that's better than the angels. Amen. Then he said, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels saith he, this is what he said about the angels. They are ministering spirits who maketh all of his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the kingdom of thy, is the scepter of thy kingdom. As thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness. And thou, Lord, being in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth and the heavens, and the work are the works of thy hand. But they shall perish, we go into chapter 2, and they shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall all wax old as doth a garment, but as a vesture, and fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, thy years fail not. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool? He didn't say that to them. He says this about them that I already made reference to. Are they not angels, all ministering spirits? And what is their job? Sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. You can shout, that's me. Amen. The angels are there to minister on your behalf. So then he says, because of this, because of all of the things he just stated, he goes on to chapter 2 and say, therefore. Whenever you see the word therefore, back up and see what it's there for. Because he didn't say to the angels, y'all all that. He said that about us. And he gave them to minister for us, to assist us. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have what? Heard. He says, I need for you to pay attention to the things that you have heard. I need you to pay attention to the words that come out of my mouth, lest at any time you should let them slip. And that's what's happening to most of the things why we see bad situations happen, because we have forgotten the power of the word that was present to heal. Okay? So we let the word slip. We did not approach the word in honesty, integrity, and victory. We approached the word as if it was not sent to us. He sent the word to heal us and to deliver us out of all of our fears and all of our destruction. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? What salvation? The one that was sent by the word of the Lord. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? And this word spoken by the Lord was confirmed unto us. So then he's saying over and over and over again that these conversations are supposed to be perpetual in our life. Don't you remember Mark chapter 16, verse 20 says the Lord worked with them, confirming the word with signs following. So then the word spoken is going to have a response that is right. Oh, Lord, if you would, you could make me whole. Jesus reached, touched him, and spoke, and said, I will be thou made whole. And it says that his word is not a changeable word. All of the other things change like a garment, but he is forever. Because his word lives forever. Therefore, we ought to not let the word slip by paying attention to it. Okay, let's do it this way. He said, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we heard, not to the things we have seen. I know that your grandmama them didn't get this. And you shouldn't look at that. You should look at the word that was promised even to your grandmama. Not mad because she didn't get it to flow into the things of her life. But she did tell you to look for it. So since she told you to trust in the Lord, honey. I mean, come on. This is a promise I heard over and over again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. What is he saying? Go back to the one that spoke, and he will direct your path out of that which he spoke, not out of that which you saw. I'm not mad because they were unlearned at the time of their life. There were things that were not in place that are in place now. You can go on your phone and read the Bible now. Glory to God. So that means like wherever you might find yourself, that the presence of God, the power of the Lord is present to heal because you can hear him teach anywhere you are. Whatever situation you find yourself in, the power of the Lord can be present to heal right there. Find a word. Find a promise. Don't let it slip. Give earnest heed. Don't just give heed to it. I mean, this adjective right there, he wants you to get it. He said, we ought to give the more earnest heed would be good enough. I'm sorry. He said we ought to give more earnest heed. And here we are looking at situations and being frustrated, looking at circumstances and being in fear. That's not more earnest heed. And again, that's not more earnest heed to the things that you've heard. That's more earnest heed to the things that you've seen. And your perception is not always accurate. But if you would allow God to awaken your hearing, then you can give more earnest heed so that you will not at any time. Come on, then. So that you will not at any time let them slip. So then if you're not supposed to let them slip at any time, that tells me you're supposed to use them at all times. Did I say that wrong? He's wanting us to participate in the glory that has been deposited on the inside. But we're still trying to look at a glory that might visit from the outside. And that doesn't bring us to the place of victory. That brings us to the place where we go back to the very same question that got us in trouble. Hath God said? It did not tell us to give questions to what you heard. It says we ought to give the more earnest heed to what we have. We should walk around saying, for the Lord hath said. Amen. He hath spoken, and it shall be. He hath promised, and it shall come to pass. Giving more earnest heed. See, God sent the word to you. because he has elevated his word. He has magnified his word above all things, even his own name. So then we need to find out what the power of the word is. Go dig into it. I'll give a testimony. It's not mine. It was one that I heard from Dr. Bill Winston. He says a man was preaching one day, and Dr. Winston was believing God for a jet, and he was just beseeching heaven and really trying to find out, you know, what God was going to do, because he believed God for the jet. And the man came there, was preaching, and then he just stopped right in the middle of the preaching, and he told Dr. Winston, he said, "Your airplane is in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And then he went back to preaching. And so, Bill went and said he started, he said he waited to the end of the message because he was going to honor the man of God. And he went and started reading Ecclesiastes 10. And he read it the first time. He ain't seen nothing about no plane and no flight and nothing. And he said, "Okay, no. See, I've got to give the more earnest heed to the things that I heard. I believe that the man of God spoke under the unction of God. So then what the man said was for me." So he went back and he read it. He said maybe about the sixth time when he finally read it, the eyes of his understanding were opened. And in verse 20 of that chapter, it says, "Curse not the king, no, not in thought. Curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and they that which hath wings shall tell the matter." And he started meditating on verse 20 because he found out there was wings involved in that. The birds of the air were involved in that. And he said, okay, so I've got to do something with my attitude, because I was saying the wrong stuff about this. I was cursing in my heart because I was saying God is not doing what you see how it connects. And then he said he began to just meditate on that day in, day and day in, day out. And he says, "For the bird of the air shall carry the voice." And he began to ask, wait a minute. The bird does not have a voice. The bird has a chirp, and that is understood in the spirit. Got that. But he said that there will be a voice. So then he began to understand from that a bird is always content. So he says, so the voice that God is looking for would be a voice of contentment, not one of frustration and consternation. What, Lord, is you going to? He says, so he's changed his heart's position because he said that the voice that is being required here is a voice of contentment. So that he began to go back and enter into praise. And he says, and then that will cause the thing to have wings, and there will be conversations that take place. It says, they that have wings shall tell the matter. So he says, so that I've got all of heaven working on my behalf because I've got the right attitude. Then the things around me, don't you remember the Bible teaches us in Isaiah that the trees of the field will clap their hands and mountains will break forth into singing? See, all of creation now is agreeing with me, and heaven hears that and responds to that. He said it wasn't a couple of months that he got the plane that he would already settle in his heart was going to happen. But he had to go back to the word and not let the promise slip. The man of God said, "Your plane is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And he went through the whole chapter. It was in the last chapter of the verse. But he had to go back and not let that word slip. So then I'm asking you, beloved, are there words that you've let slip because you didn't see or understand that it was Jesus talking? When the leper that was full of leprosy saw Jesus, he bowed his face, worshiped, and then experienced the touch and experienced the words. I will be thou made whole. But the choice is yours. Will you continue to go to a promise, run away from it, go to another promise, run away from it, letting the power of that promise slip? Or will you be the one that will give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard so that you can experience the victory that God wants you to have in every situation? Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us insight, revelation, and understanding of the things that you want us to enjoy by your word, by your spirit. Cause the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, that we will stay with the promise, not let it slip, but bring glory to you, because we hold on until the end. We give you praise, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the Redeemer of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, again, I would just ask you if you have any comments or any questions about the ministry tonight that you can just bring them forth at this time. So area code 817-919-1557, you have the mic. Area code 817-919-1557, you have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry tonight? Amen. Well, again, we just thank you for listening and being a part of the ministry. Area code 312-330-4024. You have the mic. Area code 312-330. Go ahead.
Praise God. I just wanted to say that this was very enlightening. And you were right. There were so many things that you said that were right tonight. And one, when you talked about worship, we have to worship God in spirit and in truth. And generally, we don't do that. We don't really know how to worship. So
sure.
It was good that you spoke on that tonight. And I remember when I first read the book of Revelation, and when it when you said that holy, holy, holy,
yeah.
I remember reading that and thinking to myself, because it says that they rest not day and night saying holy, holy, holy.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I remember thinking to myself at that time, well, that must be the most boring thing in the world. Okay, because that's all they do day and night. How boring is that? But that again was because I did not understand the holiness of God. So the worship comes with the understanding of the holiness. And I just want to say one more thing. Because you went to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and that's interesting too, because I was reading that, and I remember reading the scripture in the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and it said, every sin that a man doeth, he sins. Wait a minute. Let me read it exactly like it is.
Every man does against his body.
Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And when I read that, that was like, I told that to the fella that I was dating at the time. And he said to me, well, you never have nobody, will you? Okay?
And it kind of threw me
when he said that. But then Jesus said, how many more times this week are you going to attempt suicide?
Yeah, that's what that would be.
I had never thought about it like that.
That's
so
correct.
We have to choose to believe God's word.
Yeah.
We cannot worship him if we don't believe his word. So I had to get rid of things, stop doing things that I was doing.
We
all have to do that. His word is true. And my biggest prayer is that I don't miss God. Whatever it is he's calling me to do, that I don't miss him. Because everybody I see on TV, I watch your movies, they're dead. Whatever they did before, the only thing that matters is what did they do for Christ. And thank you so much. And God bless you again in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. And be blessed also in Jesus' name. Amen. And we thank you for joining us here at livedeliverance.com, Blog Talk Radio. And if the ministry has been a blessing to you and the Lord lays it on your heart to sow a seed here, you can always go to the website and you can look for the donate tab. And you can be a blessing because, as the Bible says, that is, we've given unto you and poured out of our spiritual, then it is only right that you should give of that which is your own natural substance. Because we only stay on the air because of your offerings, gifts, and tithes that you would give here at livedeliverance.com. And we thank you because it is a good ground to sow in because God, his word is alive, and because his word is alive, when you plant into a lively ground, then you will receive the reward that comes out of that life that's in that ground. So we just want to thank you for, again, participating by living, by listening, and by giving, and we look forward to you being with us again next Monday at 9 o'clock, and tell a friend, bring a friend, so we can all share. Again, this is not a ministry where I'm just trying to spout out things that sound good. I am endeavoring to give you information that will cause you to win in every situation because the victory has been given by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So until the next time we get together, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. Until the next time, love you. Be blessed.